from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Zach Kelly is in to pitch here for Boston. Ezekiel Duran, the ghost runner at second. First pitch swinging. Jonah Heim blast one deep out into right field. It is over the wall. Abreu tried to make a leaping grab in front of the Boston bullpen, but he couldn't bring it back. Jonah Heim with a 2-run home run. Rangers on top here, 9-7.
Thriller.
Yes,
the
sir.
World champs last night to avoid a 3-game sweep. Good morning, Metroplex. This show's a thriller because it's completely ass backwards here in a different side studio as we are broken this morning, but continuing to power through live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube with Sean Sharif, RJ Chop, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Bell trying to get you to the weekend as quickly as possible. Wyatt Langford with the dramatic 3-run homer to tie it in the ninth. You heard Jonah Heim win it for the Texas Rangers. What?
Nothing. I'm enjoying the dynamic of you trying to signal with your eyes to Choppy that you're about to throw it to him, but he's got his back turned.
No, I'm just doing him the butt pat.
Oh, you're doing the football?
Every time I want Choppy to talk, I just go ahead and slap him on the rear end. But forget about this game for a second. I've been saving this topic, and then you guys kind of sent me some rebuild topics to make me go with it this morning. Because I initially had an easy answer on this. Are the Texas Rangers the 2011 Mavericks in terms of this like being a one-off? Because we agreed at the time, many fans still disagree, that I don't know what the nicer word for fluky is, but that Dallas
surprise.
Yeah. It was a very, very surprising championship. And I personally agreed with blowing up that team that they were not going to come back and repeat. Are the Texas Rangers that? Because my first initial answer was definitely no. That this is not a one-off. That this team next year can be a contender more so than that team if they brought everyone back. Am I crazy? And what do y'all think on the fan text? This isn't a fluky or just lightning in a bottle championship, right?
Well, I mean, look, you have to account for the possibility that it is. I mean, they were bad, then they won, and now they're 10 games under 500 as we approach September. So you've got to account for the at least remote possibility that that's what that is.
Which title was more improbable?
The Rangers.
Rangers.
The Mavericks were a 50-win team for 10 years in a row. Then the Spurs had like the longest stretch of 50-win seasons.
Yeah, see, the Mavericks one was only fluky to me in the sense that like it happened at the very end of their window.
Right.
Like it was literally the last year of their window where it clicked.
And it was not their best team. Well, it was
no.
But
the three best players on the Rangers were better to me than the three best players on the Mavericks. Now I can't account for one. No one can touch Sniff Dirk. But you give me 1, 2, 3 off each team.
Yeah, like the 07 Mavs were better. The 06 Mavs.
Sure, it was not their best team they had.
It wasn't their best team, but, because they were, the 06 team was more athletic. But that was the culmination of a decade plus sustained success. The Rangers popped and came back down. And that's the difference.
Yeah, with the Rangers, I think entering the postseason, that Mavericks team was better within the like hierarchy of the league. Like that was the Mavericks were considered a better team within the league than the Rangers were heading into the postseason. We were talking about like Bassick was planning vacation during the wild card play-in game because he's like, mm-hmm. Well, what's the matter? They go 11-0 on the road. They do it losing DeGrom. Scherzer isn't able to really pitch during the postseason. Eovaldi had gotten hurt in the second half of the year. They were completely falling apart down the stretch. That one to me felt a little unique. And the issue is they invested, a lot of their investments are older players. Semien, DeGrom. Those are guys, Scherzer, after they made the trade, that's going to make the window tighter than it would have been.
Yeah, so now it's like, they've got to figure out this offseason. Let's just assume that they don't come from 9.5 down with 41 games left or whatever. They've got to figure out this offseason. They have to answer that very question. Now, I don't think they think that it was a fluke. First of all, they're probably too prideful to think that anyway, which athletes in general are.
And Chris Young.
And Chris Young is far too prideful to think that this was a fluke. But, you know, like they're going to have to answer that question. And they're going to have to figure out what to do with their farm system, because the Kylie McDaniel article came out, yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And it was troubling. And Bobby, the week before, or maybe earlier this week, put them at, they were 29th?
Yeah, it was in the updated farm system rankings from ESPN, they were 29th overall, so second worst in Major League Baseball.
And their top prospect is Sebastian Walcott, who Bassick said yesterday, they're going to have to move him to a different position because he's not an infielder.
And he's 18. He's 3 years away from playing. He's at A-ball. Right.
So, and he's, 47th on the list? So their best prospect. Granted, they just graduated Carter and Lankford. They had a much higher one, but they graduated than the pros. So now their top prospect is 47. And they have to figure out how to restock this system. Good news, they're going to get a top 10 pick this year, most likely, right? Or right around there, depending on what happens with the A's and the White Sox and where they are, where the Rangers would land. Because the A's and White Sox can't get a top 10. They can't get in the top 9.
But you can't be a one-off, right, with Semien, Seager, and DeGrom coming back?
Well, that's the question, because Marcus Semien, there's a Marcus Semien... Not problem, but there's a question there.
About?
Well, he's 34 in 4 weeks.
Ugh.
And 35, we all know the age 35 drop that happens throughout the history of Major League Baseball. It doesn't matter if you're Adrian Beltre or if you're Barry Bonds or Alex Rodriguez. Barry Bonds didn't really have a drop. But you get the point. Most players we'll see some dip in that age 35 season. Now, they almost all rebound. The greats will all rebound at age 36. They'll figure out the game again. But in the age 35 season, their body just slows down. They have a dip at 35 and then a rebound if they continue to play, and they play in the upwards of the late 30s. So they got a question to ask. What do you do with him? You can't. Are you going to sell him on 60 cents on the dollar? Because you're not going to get value for him because he's 34 years old in a couple of weeks. Or you're going to have to pay a hefty part of his salary. Does this ownership group look like they're going to pay him to play somewhere else?
No, and that's
the problem.
When you talk about, here's the bright side. The Rangers may get a top 10 pick this year.
And they're going to get maybe a sandwich pick for Eovaldi, because they're going to offer him a qualifying offer, and he's going to say no.
My issue is that if they end up with a top 10 pick, I don't trust right now everything we've seen financially from the Rangers in the last year that they wouldn't then pick the 30th best player, because they go, slot money. We're worried about slot money. We don't want to pay what that is up there. And so we're going to try and save some of our money for later in the draft. And it sucks when you've got a team that you feel like is so hyper aware of Titan, we got to be budget conscious.
And speaking of that, does this get Jerry Jones and the Cowboys off the hook? The list of spending that came out yesterday with the $10 million players throughout the National Football League.
So the Cowboys had 6 players on their roster that are making $10 million or more, average annual value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the highest is Cleveland with 13. By the way, when they have Deshaun Watson making all that guaranteed money every year, that I have no idea how they're able to have 13 guys with Myles Garrett.
Almost like they have people who can manipulate the cap, and if you're paying a bunch of players, you don't have to just totally decimate your roster.
So they've got so many guys doing that, and the Cowboys are at $6 million, where that puts them right there with Detroit and the Cowboys and a couple other teams that are good teams, right there in that six different teams making with $10 million contract guys.
What else did you make from that list, Bob? And does it get them off the hook? Should we back off a little bit? Because didn't they end up like in the middle of the league or even 17th on that list in terms of how many $10 million contracts they had?
Yeah, so they, to me, I don't think it gives them a pass at all. Because again, they're a lot of the time, the fact that they have as many players as they do in that range, or even that they're paying as much as they are, is... what, 75% their fault? Like 75, yeah. 25? Like, you take 25% and put it on players trying to get whatever they can and put that on just the nature of you have to pay good players. All right, you put that on them. But they routinely, what do you think cumulatively right now on this roster they've cost themselves by delaying on contracts? I bet you could come up with, that's an extra $10 million player on its own that's sitting on your roster each year because you wait. And you play this game and you're so addicted to the high of like winning the negotiation that you don't just take care of it. You can't just swallow right. your pride and say, let's have a genuine negotiation here. Let's get it done.
Look, I get mad at them with the offseason, not trying to make a real over-the-top move just like everyone else. But Choppy, I do hesitate in calling them cheap when they're about to pay. I still believe
right.
they're going to pay Dak, Micah, and Lamb all record-setting deals.
They
Isn't
are.
That hard to call someone cheap?
It's hard to call them cheap. But also, like, the spending equate to winning.
Not dumb. I'm frustrated with the way they get there to pay them, but they're still going to pay.
They're going to pay more. They're slow. They're going to pay more. There may not be the best with manipulating the cap. But just listen to the teams at the top of this, most contracts of $10 million or more. Stop me when you hear someone that's won a Super Bowl recently. So Cleveland, number one. Philly, they've been to one. They won one 7 years ago. 7 years count?
Was it 7 years? The Foles title who just retired?
Yeah, 2017.
I will pause you just a sec. Remember,
they went back to one. Yeah.
There's one team that's won three of the last four. So pretty much any team you're going to read off this list, you're telling me they won one as recently as 5 years ago at best.
Okay, yeah. Fair. So let's just use the last 10 years. San Fran, Jacksonville, Houston, Indy, Saints, Falcons, Packers, Miami, Tennessee. I mean, that's your top.
And then Chicago.
And then Chicago, Denver. Now, Denver won one 10 years ago. Different. I mean, that's a completely different organization now, mm-hmm. right? New owner, new quarterback, new everything.
Well, in some of these, though, you also got to remember San Francisco's there.
They're
knocking on the door.
Philadelphia.
And I mean, but Houston is on the come up.
We are tied with Buffalo, Carolina, Cincinnati, Kansas City, the Raiders, and the Vikings. So, like I said earlier, I was wrong. We're not in the 16th range. We're tied for 18th. We're tied for 18th with $10 million contracts or more. Do you make anything from the teams at the top of that? Go ahead, you add on, and then
I was just going to say, typically, when you hear we are spending at a similar rate to the markets of Buffalo, Carolina, and Cincinnati, like that makes me go
small market.
Yeah, no, and circling back on something you just said a second ago, the idea of you don't think they're cheap. I don't think they're cheap either, but I also don't think they're, I think they're financially reckless or they're not,
right.
yeah.
they're not disciplined. And so it causes bad financial decisions. They put a lot of stuff on a credit card. And
what do you make of the teams at the top of that in terms of their wins?
Well, I mean, Philadelphia and San Francisco, notwithstanding, like those teams are obviously there every year. The rest of them don't get any, they don't get any run out of this. I mean, when was the last time Green Bay's been a threat with Rodgers, obviously, and they went to the semis last year of the conference. But I mean, they haven't been this great, oh, they're in the Super Bowl every other year kind of thing. None of these teams consistently make the postseason. Do the Browns consistently make the postseason? Jacksonville, Houston, Indy, Saints, Falcons, Miami, Tennessee? I mean, no, they don't. I don't know that spending here equates to winning. The teams that win consistently, Philadelphia and San Fran, have either an elite coach or elite quarterback / rosters.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, though, a lot of those teams you just mentioned, they're also paying to get to that point
right.
now.
Yes.
And so they're on the come up.
what effect will the J.J. McCarthy injury have on the Cowboys and the rest of the NFC? How much is Kellen Moore already helping out Jalen Hurts? And Colin Kaepernick is back.
Oh, baby.
As he's been offered a job in the National Football League, the commercial-free expressway with the Neighborhood Watch is next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for being a Tolo that stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, as we are trying to make things work in the side studio as Tim Collins, assistant program director, had to be summoned. Now, we still don't have the main issue, but we can now.
We know what it is, though.
What is it?
It's a power issue.
We can now apparently incorporate Peyton Russell into the show, which unfortunately for him is 40 minutes too late with the payload. Put to the side.
Do you copy, guys?
We copy.
Yes, oh, my goodness.
We got you, Peyton.
The fourth host is here, guys.
He doesn't get here until 8. What are you talking about?
You know, I felt like I only saw the urgency in Peyton around 6:40 when he was really worried about having his airtime taken away and canceled.
Yeah, that's otherwise, it was like a vacation for him. He's like, I don't have to play cuts. They're not in here to be able to talk to me down the talkback. It's perfect.
Slow walk. True. I didn't like the urgency, the lack of urgency.
I got us on the air by 6 o'clock. Okay, I think
it was.
You didn't even know what was happening until I got in here. I had to come in here and say the radio station is dead, and then we had to start sound the alarms.
I will give Peyton covering fire for one thing. Like at that level of power supply, there's nothing he can do. But like, what's he gonna do at that point? It's like me sitting at home with no power in my apartment. Like I just got to sit there and wait for Encore to screw it up again.
Bobby taking up for Peyton Russell. Mark that down.
Thank you, Bob.
This is the commercial-free express. We'll do the payload tomorrow at 6:40. All right? We'll do a makeup.
I don't think we have to.
Now you want to take away a segment?
Yeah, I got to give and take, you know?
You just worry about 740 and see how that goes for you. Let's go around the rest of the NFL. Michael Lombardi, who I try to defend on the show, apparently forgot that he has a schedule, another football show. So we're not going to have Michael Lombardi on today. Not good. Not good scheduling by you, Mike.
Does it matter what football show he's on, whether you're going to give him a pass or not?
No, because you should know that you have a football show to do, so don't agree to the interview. Like, you have a schedule.
Got a schedule.
You know if you're on. Booked. I don't care if he's on McAfee. I don't care who he's on. Like, you should remember. Oh, I was on somewhere.
I meant it more like, are you going to be mad if you find out, like, it's a YouTuber or something like
no.
that? Or some are you going to be like, is that going to make you mad? Or is
no, it's not going to make me more upset. And that's Bobby taking these shots at the YouTubers out there.
You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about just a random
All right, person. Let's talk about J.J. McCarthy. He is gone for the entire year. Crushing news for Minnesota Viking fans and maybe even Justin Jefferson. J.J. McCarthy underwent a full meniscus repair yesterday. He is out for the season. And, Choppy, you were wondering about the effect on the rest of the NFC?
Well, I mean, if you look at the NFC, this was initially when I thought it was going to be 4 to 6 games and how this is going to transpire. You know, they were going to miss, he was only going to miss like 3 weeks of the season. And then it goes to 8 to 12 weeks, and now you're getting into, you know, October, November. But now that it moves on beyond that the entire year, Minnesota was a very big dark horse player in that division.
Mm. Okay, because to me, this has zero effect because they were not going to be a player whatsoever or a contender. So this to me has zero effect on the top of the NFC. But I could have been wrong about J.J. McCarthy, which would make me wrong about your topic.
Top of the NFC, you're right. I don't think they're a top of the NFC.
Even a playoff team, I wasn't thinking.
They were one of those teams that could bite you. They do have, like, Jefferson and Hawkins are really good players. And then they signed the running back, Aaron Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you throw a quarterback in there, you got yourself a pretty good offense. With that mind, with Kevin O'Connell on top.
Yeah, but they walked away from a quarterback. That, to me, said they recognized they were kind of in a revamping phase.
I had them finishing fourth, and I didn't even... I thought for a half second about putting the Bears, but now they're definitely finishing fourth. And definitely. I had them finishing fourth anyway. They're not going to be... They weren't going to be better than Detroit, Green Bay, and I would have said Chicago.
Yeah, that's the only question to me would have been Chicago. I didn't think Minnesota was a playoff team. I think McCarthy could become a solid starter, but I don't think it was going to be year one.
So, possible NFC effect. What effect is Kellen Moore having on Jalen Hurts? This is Darius Slay on the Big Play Slay podcast with high praise for the Wiz Kid here in Dallas.
I'm telling you right now, Jalen is looking amazing. You know, I love Kellen Moore. I'm so old. I used to play with Kellen Moore in Detroit, if y'all ain't know. Like, he a year older than me. And I came in the year after him, and he was a scout team quarterback for Detroit. But I played with him for like 3 or 4 years. So this is even funnier. I keep running around like, what up, Kelly? Like, I cannot call him coach. Like, we played together for too long for me to call you coach, man. You know what I'm saying? But I know what kind of offensive mind he is. He go do great things with Jalen, man. He upgraded Jalen's skills, man, and making him a smarter player, making him a better player, making him make a lot of reads, a lot of checks. Trying to get him the freedom to be one of the super, super elite guys. You know, he's already an elite player, you know, but he's trying to take that XL to be compared to like the Patrick Mahomes and the Lamars and all them guys. You know, they got him right under that tier. He finna jump right into that tier this year, man. Looking forward to it because he got a high ceiling, man. And I know Kellen Moore is going to be able to do a great job with him.
What is that going to do to that weird Sirianni-Hurts dynamic, though, if Kellen comes in here and rescues Hurts, essentially?
To the Sirianni Hurts? Well, why would it affect that?
Oh, because the relationship is sour.
Just the relationship being sour. And, I mean, there was the article. That's what you weren't here last week on it. The Sandler texted it to us, though. The report last week that said Jalen Hurts at issue with them right now, their tension is Hurts does not respect Sirianni as an offensive mind. He doesn't respect him. And, like, man, that sounds really toxic out there that they can't have one-on-one interactions. It says they need a mediator, and that's the only time things will go right for them.
Like me and Carter.
So if you throw in a new offensive coordinator who comes in here and rescues it, I would just think that might build more tension if he has more success.
No. Success makes everything better.
Great deodorant.
And then is Kellen Moore going to be calling the plays and in charge of everything? Mm-hmm. So that keeps Sirianni even further away. I'm more interested in knowing, in your opinion, since you were a Kellen Moore fan, Bobby.
Boy, he has backed himself in a corner here.
Preach it. Explain
it. You are ESPN with the WNBA right now when it comes to Philadelphia. Yes.
Because Monica McBelt.
Yeah. You've kind of backed yourself into a corner.
Explain it.
If Jalen Hurts...
If Jalen Hurts hears his out. If Jalen Hurts is much better or elevates, then he'll say it's because Kellen. Of Kellen.
Right. But if he's not, then what does he do?
Then Jalen Hurts isn't savable. He's so bad.
Then I say Kellen Moore can save him. What is Kevin O'Connell supposed to do with Sam Darnold? Like, I'm not going to judge Kevin O'Connell and what he does with Sam Darnold
but
this year.
My serious question for you is, what do you think Kellen Moore could do for Hurts?
He's going to make him throw more vertically. You're going to see more of that because that was gone in a lot of respects from Philadelphia last year.
Isn't he really good throwing vertically?
He had success with it a couple of years ago. And so if they bring some of that back and push the ball downfield, that's good. The receivers are going to love it. The receivers in Philly will love it because they're going to get the opportunity to push stuff down the field and make plays. So
are they good on curl routes?
That's really not Kellen's system. But I mean, like, Kellen is going to want to, like, he wants to push the ball down the field, take shots. And I mean, it's something that he had success with here. The big route concept you saw here in Dallas that he used to love to run was the deep crossers. So he'd send two guys on deep crossing routes, and then basically one of them would free up, and you'd hit. But your offensive line has to be stable enough for that to happen.
You've got
to
let that play develop, like, big time. Now Hurts, with his ability to move, that might actually work.
Well, it's usually coupled with play action, too, like, delay the defense a little bit, play action, get the route, time to go, and then let it develop. But, yeah, they've got a really good offensive line, or they have. How much does Jason Kelce missing change that? I don't know, but I mean, they've had a strong offensive line.
He'll be back. He'll re-sign by week six.
No, he said they're not going to have me at 260. He's already lost the weight.
Yeah.
He was one of these guys who used to have to gorge to be NFL weight. Cause he came into the NFL like 280. He was small.
All right. Peyton says that the YouTube is popping. Maybe we should stay in this broom closet for future show. Oh, here's the savior, Chris.
Yeah, or that.
Engineer Chris, maybe getting us back in the main room. But thanks to all y'all on the YouTube, fan cam, and Twitch. They're probably just tuning in to watch the disaster.
Man, I love it. Chris came in hot. Didn't even comb the hair. Bedhead, I love it.
I would hope
that's
not.
A real engineer, baby.
I would hope not.
Yes, sir.
So we've woken up two people to drive in here this morning.
How much do you think the fan cam numbers being up right now, Chopper, about you having your backside turned to the fan cam?
I would say zero. I have no butt. I've never had a butt. It's a big problem. Every time Sarah says I look like Hank Hill from the back naked.
Think about, like, if the station got a butt implant sponsor, would you consider it? You would?
Yeah, you know, not really.
Why not?
Because that's one of those things that, I think you would take pride in working on that. But the problem is I do, and I still got nothing.
Yeah.
No gain.
If you got nothing, you got nothing.
You got nothing.
Do you pay for
God's
better
plan.
Clubs? Like,
you
do you pay for, like, really good clubs or other things to improve your golf game?
Yes.
Yeah, so, like, your own talent only gets you so far. So
that's
fair. You've worked on the butt, but, I mean, if you want to get those couple strokes down.
Yeah, man. If you want to do some butt injections, I'll do that.
Let's see what happens.
BT.
I think that leads us to Brandon Tierney. Cut 9, Peyton. Choppy's boy, too.
BT.
On WFAN, talking about Aaron Rodgers.
This is what Aaron Rodgers should. Maybe he already did this. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I knock on his door, or I text him, or I call him, or I have already had a beer with him before we went to camp after I got back from Egypt. I say, Coach, you got to coach me hard. You get on me. We're good. Trust me. I know it's coming from a good spot. Get in my ass. Get on my ass. Right. Get in the behind when I need it.
Boy, that one letter makes all the difference. That I versus that O. Get on my ass.
Right in the butt.
Right in the butt.
So you got to send him a text, Choppy. That's your boy.
That was like that. We ran into that a lot this offseason where people kept.
Maybe that's why you guys are boys. Maybe
that's why.
People kept mocking Jerry's all-in comment, and we kept having the all-in. And if you forgot that comma, all-in comma my ass, then. You know, man. It would create a situation like that.
That's you're right. That's one letter. That's one letter that completely changed the entire tenor of that conversation.
Peyton, let's hear it one more time from BT on The Fan in New York. Not the whole thing. I just want the sentence. I just want the line right there.
You get on me. We're good. Trust me. I know it's coming from a good spot. Get in my ass. Get on my ass.
Right.
Get in the behind when I need it.
Oh, whoa. Get behind me when I need it. Jeez.
All right, Bob. Let's see what happens right to the fan cam and all the Twitch numbers with Colin Kaepernick being offered an NFL job.
Yes, Colin Kaepernick has been offered a job in the NFL. He's waited around for the opportunity, and it has finally arrived. It is not an opportunity to actually play, though. It is a coaching offer. Jim Harbaugh gave an interview to USA Today, says he has spoken with Colin Kaepernick about joining his coaching staff with the Chargers. Colin Kaepernick, who has been in Paris for the Olympics, he was over there doing some different things, and gave an interview to Sky Sports recently where he talked about, yep, still staying ready, still trying to be engaged.
Will we see you play NFL again?
We're still training, still pushing. So hopefully we just got to get one of these team owners to open up.
What would it mean to you to play NFL again?
I mean, it's something I've trained my whole life for. So be able to step back on the field, I think that would be a major moment, major accomplishment for me. Also, I think it's something that I could bring a lot to a team and help them win a championship.
All right. So the question is, in today's world, In today's world, what would the reaction, how different would it be versus like 5 years ago, everything that happened, whatever the time frame was? We've really lost track of time this week when it comes to decades and longer than that. What would happen? What would happen in today's world, socially, online, and everything, if Kaepernick was hired to coach?
So I think the reaction is completely different if you're talking about hired to coach versus signed to a team to play.
Oh, yeah.
If you sign to a team to play, I mean, that becomes a big issue leading up to November, probably. Like, that becomes a big discussion point nationally.
Which, obviously, that time is dead and gone.
Yeah, that's not going to... I mean, Florio called him delusional the other day. He said he comes off as delusional even talking. He's like, I agree, they colluded against him, but you come off delusional at this point.
It is delusional.
Him, it is.
And I'll say it every time his name comes up, they successfully ended his career. They blackballed him. Yep. And one day, someone down the road will come out, NFL owner, someone close to an owner, and there will be some type of paperwork transcript. There will be some proof.
Something come out.
That they blackballed him and kicked him out of the league, which was effed up.
Yep. They Trevor Bowered him. They Colin Kaepernick to Trevor Bauer. That's the real way, because obviously Cap came first.
If he
and
were to be-
Cap was... much less to me, it was a much greater sports crime to end him. Like, if you line up the two things that they did, at least one was like a legal issue to some
with
degree.
Like, yeah, Kaepernick's was, I mean, look, I am a free speech like absolutist. Like, I think Colin Kaepernick did.
Well, he did nothing wrong.
Until it's somebody else's speech.
Until their belief and their principles stepped on. Everyone's free speech until that.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick just exercised his first. I have no problem with what he did. I don't agree with how he would approach it. I would not hold that against him. He could have quarterbacked my team at any point.
No, a lot of teams were going to, regardless of how they felt about it, though, we're also going to just say, we're not bringing this heat on us. We're not, especially for relative to how good he was at that point, which was not very. Like, he had not been very good the last 2 years.
People would point to his, well, he was 16 touchdowns, 4 picks, which is a good number, but
and unless
there's no nuance.
Unless he's a football genius, style-wise, how are you bringing him in to help Herbert?
Because, as a backup or as a coach?
No, coach. Playing is done. As a coach.
Jim Harbaugh knows him way better than you know, he would know his football mind better.
Yeah. But what, this blows up for maximum 48 hours and then gone?
I don't know that it even blows up. Like, it's a headline in certain Dan Dockich does a segment on it on Outkick. Don Lemon, turns it into, Mike Leslie does one of his little signature rants on WFAA for 2 minutes. It's that for one day.
I agree.
And then people forget about it. Plain. No, but I mean, if you're a coach and you're off on the side, I think it's out of sight, out of mind to a lot of people.
You can you know, and but also now, like, don't they do the anthem differently anyway? Like, you can, they want you in the locker room if you're not standing or something like that. They came up with that a couple years ago. But John Gruden was on the with Chiefs practice the other day. Like a week or so ago.
I love how the Chiefs just say,
screw it.
Screw everything.
They are everything the Cowboys have been stereotyped as for the last decade.
They are. But so Gruden was there, and that was a story for 24 hours. Now, is Gruden as polarizing as Kaepernick? I mean, what he did is far worse than anything Kaepernick ever did.
But he's not as polarizing, probably not. No.
Probably not.
Yeah. All right, so that's just the job offer.
Should he take it? Like, if he's offered this job, like, what does taking it or not taking it say?
I don't know if it says anything. I mean, I don't. What does he want to do?
I mean, if he doesn't want to coach, then I don't know that it makes me. I don't have an interest in coaching. The bigger question was, and the thing people were always trying to debate around the time was the idea of, was he willing to take a backup job as a quarterback? And that's where people would gotten arguments of, like, what are you willing to concede on?
Who's the player? Who's the active player in sports who would be ballsy enough and loud enough to say, I'm not working with him? If they were on the Chargers, you can hire him. I'm not working with him. I don't like what he did. Because we are in that world now, where people are outspoken like that.
What are the Boses? What's Joey like?
Joey's cool. Joey is not as active, I don't think, as Nick. But yeah, I mean,
that's a good one. Because he's on the Chargers.
But I don't know that the Boses would, because, like, there's Nick Bosa talking about when he knew he was getting drafted by San Francisco, he started deleting all of his Twitter history. Like, he openly has discussed it. And so, honestly, the first name that comes to mind is, he's not really active, I guess, is Antonio Brown. Like, that seems like a weird Antonio Brown opinion. Like, I don't like what he did. I'm out on him.
Kaepernick. Someone who's, like, really, like, loud, not just crazy. But I think that's a good one. Bosa's right there on the team.
Bosa's probably. That would have to be, because there's not really, I don't feel
there's
like
no
anybody's
current day Aubrey Huff.
Honestly, you know what? It's after the Kaepernick thing, it felt like a lot of guys were like, not saying anything. So we don't know about a lot of them now.
You're saying Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley. Okay. That's good on the fan text. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up during the commercial free expressway on Sean and RJ. It is the biggest community segment in all of the Metroplex. It's time for the watch.
We need to take people out of their bubbles and their safe place and make them think about the world we live in.
You are fake news.
So what do you guys hear? What's the scuttlebutt?
Oh boy, we have an extremely controversial edition of Neighborhood Watch today.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about this as, I'm going to set this up as generally as I can without specifics. But this is a story, and I know we got a lot of different people in the car right now. This is a story that does deal with allegations of child abuse. So it's going to be generalized, though.
I was worried about Kaepernick dropping the fan cam numbers.
Great. No, this is a big story right now. This is taking over, like, the entire city of Rockwall right now. So here's the gist of the story. A Rockwall mother went viral over the last few days after she shared a story on Facebook alleging that her 4-year-old son last year during the school year was the repeated victim of abuse by a female pre-K teacher in Rockwall ISD. And there were a lot of really graphic details that the boy provided to his mom. So she says they reported it to Rockwall PD, Sheriff's Department got involved, and Children's Advocacy Centers of Texas was brought in by law enforcement. She claims that they were basically silenced by the district and law enforcement, and that the principal of the school had recently told her that the past is in the past. Teacher would be allowed back this year. That's when this.
Now we're talking about sexual abuse?
Yes. Very graphic stuff, the descriptions. And this mother began making a lot of noise about it. And now you have, like, she was apparently, like, you know, she posted this thing on Facebook, which got 10,000 shares over the weekend.
Wow.
And there was a lot of public protests. They were showing up at City Hall. They were showing up at Rockwall ISD headquarters. They were flooding them with calls. Parents were just upset about this. The vast majority has been outrage. And then there's been another section that has said, this feels a little too quick to judge and a little too one-sided, because we're only getting one side of the details. And if she was allowed back at school and Rockwall PD was involved, that says that there was some level of investigation that they must have felt comfortable bringing her back. So last night, Rockwall ISD actually had a meeting with parents. Like, it was open for people to go. People were on Facebook streaming it live.
Whoa.
And Rockwall ISD had apparently told everybody this was investigated. You know, it was something that it went to a grand jury, and the grand jury declined to charge this teacher. And so if there's no evidence for this, what are we supposed to do? And this teacher, who has been on leave up until the school year, which they extended that when all this controversy started because all the threats they got, they said it was for safety is the reason why they hadn't let her back in. They are planning on having her come back to school next week. But there's a lot of people now who are just up in arms in both directions. The idea of these allegations are too serious, too detailed. No way you can let this, you know, this teacher back. And then there's the other side of it that says this has been vetted and cleared, and you can't just let the allegation of essentially a four-year-old ruin this woman's career if investigators looked at it and said no. Yeah.
So, well, I hate to throw my kid in this situation, but I have to because he just turned four. So the investigation would have to come down to, like, interviewing and trusting a four-year-old. Now, my kid says yes and no in the same sentence 15 times a day. Did you eat lunch today? Yeah. What'd you have for lunch? I didn't eat lunch. Like, for me, I don't trust my son. All right? I'm saying that, like,
generally,
half joking.
Yeah.
But I think my son, like, you know, I've talked about his speech therapy stuff. Like, I felt like he was way behind in the past. Now, maybe a little bit behind. There are other four-year-olds who are, like, you know, more clear and more advanced than him from a speech standpoint. So maybe I would trust them more. I don't know the typical four-year-old. How much can you totally believe and buy?
It's a great question. I don't know how much. Like, what would
this?
And the police would say, what would in a court of law? What would they do with a four-year-old on the stand? Would they even put one on?
Yeah,
I don't know.
They would. I imagine in that situation, the fact that they had Children's Advocacy Centers of Texas talk to them, I would imagine they would have an expert from, like, one of the psychologists or one of the people who had interviewed him. That would essentially be the voice of, this is what he had told us. But this is tough because it's when your child gives you vivid descriptions like this, and if you have seen the post, you'll see they're vivid. Again, we're keeping it general, not naming the school anything else because it's just what it is. But it's vivid descriptions of a lot of stuff. That's if you hear that, it's hard not to have an emotional reaction as a parent.
Yeah.
And then if you're on the other side and you believe,
and it's different. Like, if my son comes out and starts giving vivid description, I'm more apt to believe than just him answering yes or no. Like, hey, did this teacher do this? And it's like, oh yeah, today I feel like saying yes. So today I feel like saying no. Versus, like, coming home and being like, Dad, like, is this normal? This happened to me. But my kid right now is not capable of that, just turning four.
Mm-hmm.
He's not capable of coming home and being like, yeah, I did that. Now, if he came out randomly and was like, so-and-so, Mrs., you know, did this with me today. Like, I kissed them on the mouth. I'd be like, okay,
yeah, hold up. It sets off alarm bells.
Yes.
And that's...
But, like, going to the descriptions that you were telling us in the commercial break, I don't even, like, even if it happened, I don't know if he'd be capable of relaying that.
Yeah, and it's something where...
Then you got to make the decision of the powers that be to end her or him. Is it him or her?
It's him. It's a boy. The teacher's a woman, yeah.
Yeah. Then you got to make the decision to end the teacher based off that.
Right, yeah.
But then
you're
like,
ending
kids
somebody's...
Kids are innocent and they don't lie on top of it.
Right, yeah, like, this is regardless of what happens... This will follow that teacher around.
Oh yeah.
No matter what, and that's if this is just a made up story, I mean that's something that's very difficult to come back from.
It's
because there are going to be people who refuse to believe. Either way, there are going to be people who refuse to believe that she did this, and then if she's exonerated, there's going to be people who refuse to believe that she didn't do this.
Yeah,
and I get it. It's really hard not to have a visceral reaction
absolutely
to any allegation. A detailed allegation of something like this, where it's hard not to go so angry and upset about it. So I see the side of, when I read the story the first time too, I was like, you know, throw her, like, under the prison. Like, I mean, it's under that bad. But then on the other end of it, it's like, if they investigated it and if she's innocent, like she's claiming that this didn't happen, Like, you can't say with certainty that it's such a tough thing to have to debate. Would you have discomfort about it if Ollie was like going to this school, for instance? Would you be like, we got to figure out something else this school year? Because I can't chance knowing what the truth is.
I don't know about the school. If he was in the class, I'd be really alarmed. Like, I'm not alarmed, but I'm a little worried. Like, right now, the school he goes to, like, I've walked inside of it twice. Like, they don't really want parents to go in, they say, because of germs and COVID. Like, you can schedule to go in. I'm sure if I knocked and I walked in, I could.
Did you go to school in California?
My last school, I walked in to get him every day.
Yeah.
And I would walk him to his room to drop him off. This school, you have to knock at the door. They take him in. When I go to pick him up, I knock at the door. They bring him to the door. I see him outside. I never drop him off inside or pick him up inside.
I wonder how much of that is also like safety. Like a lot of schools, like schools are locked. Like I can't get into my son's middle school, high school. I couldn't get into the elementary school. You know, like the doors are locked.
Did that ever make you worry? Like what could be happening in there? That's what is in the back of my mind.
Great. Love it.
Bam. This school will be on NBC5. So it's happening, and us dumb parents never went inside. I have like 0.0001% of thought in my mind as a psychic.
Yeah, like whatever school he
loves the school. It's been a fantastic experience. Don't kick us out.
When he goes to elementary school, when he goes to kindergarten, that school will be locked.
Really?
Yeah, you'll have to ring a buzzer.
Yeah.
And then...
Which I prefer.
Right. That you can't get in. Like, there's... It's obviously for school shooter protections. That's why they have it now.
We're doing Neighborhood Watch here on 105 Through the Fence. Some of the response on the fan text to this story. 425 Rockwall Mom here. The problem is no information was given to parents at all. Regardless of the conviction, the parents should have been told of an alleged event.
Yes.
Communication.
Communication when there could be problems behind the scene. What a concept.
Another text here. Rockwall police officer here. Don't believe everything you read on social media. You have to look at this factually and not emotionally, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, what I would say, and I'm not disagreeing with the police officer, what I would say is, what can you gather factually from a four-year-old? And is this just cameras? Was the allegations inside the school?
So that's one of the...
What did the investigation consist of, and how does that solve it in your mind when you're dealing with a kid that young?
817 says, check the video from the school. Most have cameras. They do. Here was what the issue was, and that's been one of the sticking points, and I guess what the grand jury was trying to decide. There was a video allegedly of them holding him back from recess, because there was a, like, one of his things he said was, she always keeps me in from recess, she doesn't let me go to recess. And there was a video allegedly of that. The problem is that when they went to go get it, it was past the 30-day window, which is all Rockwall ISD keeps on storage of camera footage. And so once they got past that window, they were like, that video's not, we don't have it. It's like not here anymore. Tape. So a lot of people look at it and they either say, this is, okay, well, that sucks. Rockwall doesn't have it anymore. Other people look and go, they knew it was a smoking gun and they deleted it. That's what happened. They tried to cover this up. So it's been a very
emotional issue. And all these allegations were from inside the school, allegations that they took place in the school?
Yes, that it took place in the classroom. All right, we are on Neighborhood Watch here. If you are heading to the State Fair of Texas in October, you better not be packing heat, baby.
Ooh.
Oh, baby.
The State Fair is banning firearms this year, and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton ain't happy about it.
He's not happy that it's being banned.
He is threatening to sue the city of Dallas over this State Fair gun policy, which a lot of blowback against the State Fair for this last week. They have not moved on it. And they're like, nope, policy's the policy. We've had too many instances with, you know, violence and firearm issues here. So that's what we're doing.
So private businesses, I'll ask Captain Choppy here, Chop Cruz. can private businesses just, like, can I bring a gun in here even though it's state law I can carry? Like, can private businesses say no firearms on the premises? Even though whatever the state and federal rules?
I assume so. Like a bar.
Yeah.
Like if it's more than
or my kid's school. I don't know.
More than 51% of your sales come from alcohol, I think that you can, then you're not allowed to have it. This is, look, this is, I don't get political. This is hypocrisy from that side of the aisle. Like, the entire thing is, like, they always preach, like, hey, let the local, you know, let give more power to the local and not the federal. Well, this is the same thing. If the city of Dallas wants to enact their own laws, you know, the state of Texas would say, if the federal government wants to enact laws, hey, don't tell us what to do here in Texas. Well, I would say the same thing to them. If Dallas wants to enact their own laws locally, the state should just say, hey, take the same approach. Don't bother us. I have no problem the state fair wants to do that.
That's the issue that Ken Paxton is saying. Is he's saying Fair Park itself, the area, is owned by the city, and so you can't say we're banning firearms within city, like within those city properties. Like, you can't do that.
Look, I'd rather go to the state fair with no guns. That's just me. Now, I also have to trust that the security has stopped anyone from bringing a gun in, which obviously did not take place last year. That's my problem.
And that's the problem, is that, like, if somebody really wants to bring a gun in there, they're going to bring a gun.
Was that the one last year where they said the lady hid it in her fat folds, firearm?
Yeah. They're going to find a way to bring it in.
All right. There it is. The Neighborhood Watch blowing up on a Thursday, commercial-free expressway. I think we're back. We're back into the studio for RJ Choppy to plan out every single football weekend that you have coming up. What Saturdays are you actually going to have free? Choppy will tell you in the College Kegger next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.